Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
First try, Sami Zayn.
Everything's fine. Don't you worry. Pete's going to have a small breakdown. While this happens, I'll tell you the apologies that the stream broke. The parents are away.
Yeah, and also it just died. It's just stopped working. Everything crashed. Everything stopped. We don't know why. It just stopped. Minutes before we went live, the camera just stopped working. And then when we went live and we're doing the countdown, the streaming software just stopped working and crashed.
So the technology has told us it's quite cross about the main event result of Raw.
It must be, yes. Yeah. The main event of Raw being, it is the Gauntlet match to determine the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. By the way, hello, welcome to the Wrestle Podcast. I'm Pete, not Luke, filling in for Luke. He's feeling poorly. Sorry, Luke. Hope you feel better soon, mate. Come back soon. And Dan. Hi, Dan.
And Dan.
Your Jam That Champion, Dan? Layton?
The truth, Dan. Yeah. I mean, whatever. You can't get the staff these days.
Yeah. Anywho, the main event of Raw was a gauntlet match to determine the number one contendership for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. And people saw this match, and it was a gauntlet match for Gunther, and people went, Chad Gable's in this match.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Well, I mean, so the past few weeks have been a bit interesting, because obviously you've not been on the stream, so I'll fill you in on how we've all been talking about it, yeah. Which is essentially just that, you know, a lot of people were very into the idea of Chad Gable, obviously. He had that incredible run with Gunther back in the summer and the autumn, really, when all that was going down. And then things got very cold, but I don't think everyone fully let go of the idea of Chad Gable having a big moment. Meanwhile, Sami Zayn, his current storyline is not having anything for WrestleMania, and he's Rocky, and Triple H told him he was Rocky, and they've only ever seen Rocky.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And do you know what their favorite dessert is? Rocky Road.
You've had a stressful 15 minutes, so I'm going to allow you. Yeah. No,
thanks.
I got it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a question of not
Rocky
getting it.
Road.
So then what happened was, so it basically had become this whole business of, oh no, are they going to do a multi-man for Gunther? Because they were setting up Ricochet coming and having all these conversations. They were Bronson Reed. Every other man was talking to Adam Pearce about wanting a conversation about the Intercontinental Championship. And I think a lot of us were a bit like, uh-oh, a multi-man sounds gash.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly love the idea of that being how Gunther loses to keep him strong.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what was the point of the whole 600 days? So when we got the idea of this gauntlet, I think we all had a collective sigh of relief. And that combined with what they were telling us from Chad Gable was that this match meant more. So I think a lot of us were going into this kind of thinking this could be... It ultimately comes down to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. These are the two who we believe desperately want to be in this match.
Yes.
Right? So going into the show, the question was kind of like, do you go Sami? Do you go Chad? Do you go both?
Yeah. And what is the correct option here?
Yes.
Because generally speaking, if we're looking at wrestling's history, you pick wrong, people are quite upset about it.
Recent history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you pick the wrong thing...
That's the story of WrestleMania 40 so far.
Yeah. Don't pick the wrong thing. WrestleMania 40's tagline. But this was the main event of the show, which started off with Ricochet and JD McDonagh. I thought they had a pretty good showcase, these two. Not been super featured, either of them, really, lately, but they went out and had some pretty good wrestling. Enjoyed it. They're both them getting a little bit of spotlight, which was nice. Ricochet won with a Shooting Star Press. Out came Bronson Reed, but because Ricochet had taken a lot of damage from JD McDonagh, put up a little flurry, but then Bronson Reed pretty quickly put him away with a tsunami. Pretty good stuff. Then out came Sami Zayn. Still no Chad Gable in the match yet. Mm-hmm. And typically, WWE storytelling dictates that whoever's going to win a gauntlet comes in early. That's just the way they do things, unless you're a heel. But then, Bronson Reed and Sami Zayn, they had a little back and forth. Sami Zayn just got the win with a sunset flip powerbomb off the middle rope, which is very nice. And then, as Shinsuke Nakamura is coming out, Bronson Reed gets some payback on Sami, beats him up after he's already been eliminated, hits a tsunami on Sami. So Sami's now super weak for Shinsuke Nakamura, but they still have a little match in and of themselves. Mm. Sami almost gets Shinsuke with a surprise roll-up to start with, and then they have their own little match. Sami comes back into it. It was a brilliant little haluva kick that he got hit from basically out of nowhere. I don't know how you do a haluva kick from out of nowhere, but he does it. And he gets the pin on Shinsuke, which is great, which means the final two, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I was pretty 50-50 on the Sami-Chad thing. I'm like, I'm happy with either.
Yeah, because you're a big Sami Zayn fan.
I bloody love Sami Zayn, and I bloody love Chad Gable.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see Chad get his moment, you know, dethrone Gunther and Mania and all that stuff. If Sami Zayn is going to be facing Gunther at WrestleMania, I'm like, that's probably going to be bloody amazing at the same time, you know? Maybe Chad's time will come. I'm not resting my hopes on that. I don't think he's ever getting a push. But hey-ho, if it happens, it happens, and I will really enjoy it when it does. So either way, this match went, I was like, I'm happy with either result here. And it felt like, to me, the crowd were very much on that kind of same wavelength, where, as I said before, typically, when a crowd has made up their mind about what winner they want, they like start booing and rejecting the other person. But here they were just kind of cheering both of them. They were like, we like both of you. You're fine. So anytime one of them got a big spot, it was a cheer, not a cheer and a boo dynamic for this one, which was really cool. And this was so cool because I genuinely didn't know who was going to win out of this. And they played into that fact so well in this match. So many fantastic near falls. Like, I think the in-ring quality of the wrestling for these two was very good. Obviously, they're both fantastic wrestlers. It wasn't like A plus five-star incredible wrestling. But what was five-star incredible wrestling was the drama.
Well, this
is it. The psychology, you know?
We always have the takes of people being like, there was only 28 minutes of wrestling on this program. Mm-hmm. Forgetting that a lot of wrestling is what goes on in the ring, but is also all of the drama, the theatrics, the promos count as wrestling. Mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes being one of the best to ever do it. Ric Flair, like, we remember their promos as much as we remember their matches kind of thing. So the dramaturgy of this kind of final encounter was quite spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we were both, you'd already watched it, and I was watching it for the first time in the office upstairs, and we were both kind of gripped in the same way. You kind of watching me watch it for the first time.
It was great.
Yeah.
I love this so much. There's one particular sequence that I nearly leapt out of my chair, which was Sammy, who had been in an ankle lock for ages, was limping around the ring, barely able to walk at this point. Great selling. Manages to limp into a haluva kick, kind of stumbles across the ring and just kind of launches his leg as like a last ditch effort. Hits the haluva kick. Chad goes down and he scrambles over to try and get a pin. Takes his time. Gets into the pin. Chad Gable kicks out at 2.9 straight into a crucifix pin, which Sammy kicks out of at 2.9. Mm. And both of those near falls, the crowd bought as the finish. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
I lost my mind at that spot because I was like, oh, that's the finish. Oh, that's the finish. And it's just this escalation of tension and drama.
That's it.
You know, it's brilliant.
And it's also when you do things like that, it is the measure of how you do it, right? It's it's like if you're just whipping out 2.9 kickouts for no reason, or kickouts at one when, you know, I'm not a fan of a kickout at one. We've spoken about this before on the show. But when you do things in the right place, when you use the 2.9 kickouts, in this moment, Sami Zayn is massively exhausted and Chad Gable's just been hit with the haluva kick. Mm. So these 2.9 kickouts do genuinely feel like the end could come anywhere.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it did.
Yep. 100%. Because after that, straps come down from Chad Gable.
Oh.
Gets fired up. And gets another German suplex. Gets in the ankle lock. But Sami rolls up Chad out of the ankle lock. 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Sami gets the win. It was an insane match. The finish was perfect. I loved it so much. People have said that Chad Gable's shoulders were not on the mat. I don't personally buy into that narrative. If that was, then I don't think that was intentional. I think some people have tried to say that, well, maybe this will lead into a triple threat at Mania or something like that. I personally don't think they would have done that because nobody mentioned it afterwards.
Yeah.
If it was intentional, I would have felt like commentators would have pointed out, being like, oh, I think maybe Chad Gable's shoulders are off the mat there. Or like Chad would be like, no, my shoulders are up to the referee or something. Somebody somewhere would have maybe mentioned that Chad's shoulders might have been up.
So copium is a hell of a drug.
Right?
It really is.
So if his shoulders were off the mat, and I'd have to go back and watch it and, you know, frame by frame it if I was going to look. If it did happen, I don't think it was intentional.
Well, I mean, the specifics of what it was, because obviously we'll break down the match and the outcome and all the rest of it in a second, but while we're doing the specifics of the match, it was a roll-up, mm-hmm. his head was on the mat,
yeah,
and his shoulder blades were very much not.
Yes.
Right. But it then becomes a word puzzle of, do you think this and this counts as the shoulders being on the mat?
Yeah, as like the top
mat.
Of your shoulder. Does that count?
Because if the idea is you're supposed to be completely down and top of your shoulders are on the mat, mm-hmm. then arguably, no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
I think that is more anatomy than it is plotline in wrestling.
Right.
Personally. Yeah. I think the intention very much here was that Sammy was able to just get a quick roll up from over Chad Gable, and that was the difference maker.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything else. And as you say, I completely agree. If they'd said it on commentary, if they made a point of replaying it and being like, oh, there's something to be just talking about here, we could be staring in the face of a triple threat.
Yep.
As it stands, I think this was a decisive victory.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was, and I think that's the key word there, is decisive. This was clean. There's no avenue, unless he wants to be very whiny, there's no avenue for Chad Gable to be like, but I want a WrestleMania match.
Look, I mean, maybe there is. Like, this, after all, is WrestleMania pivot. Like, this is the year of the pivot.
Sure.
So I feel like if they wanted to, and they're having to do it in so many different ways. CM Punk got injured. Mm-hmm. The crowd said, no, thank you, Mr. Rock. Like, so many places they've had to pivot and duck. Brock Lesnar was supposed to be in this spot.
Yeah.
They've had to pivot in so many different places. If they wanted to, and they saw the response and went, well, hang on, you know, we've been quite lucky here. We could just use this in a story if we wanted to. Like, they could. Yeah. I don't think they will, but they could.
I also don't think they should.
Right. Okay. So this gets to the root of the question, which was, you know,
was it the right choice?
Yeah.
Right. To have Sammy win. And I think a lot of people really wanted Chad Gable to win. And I totally am on board with that. I would have loved to have seen Chad here. I think it would have been fantastic. The fact that Sammy won, though, I'm totally okay with. And I think that the pivot to Chad Gable would make it look weird. It's already really weird. Like, the whole Cody stuff. I'm glad that they did pivot, because I think the match would have really suffered to be Rock versus Roman. And no one wanted it. That's fine. People do want to see Sami Zayn Gunther. Mm. It's just they really like Chad Gable. And they're like, yeah, okay, Sammy. But also, what about Chad Gable?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we hate Sami Zayn and we love Chad Gable. That's not the thing that's happening here. I think if they find a way to fudge Chad Gable into the match, it'll be even more transparent than the Cody thing. It'll be like, we've just done this because people didn't like it, and it would feel really forced and really unnatural. And that is a criticism I will levy against the Cody stuff, because I'm glad that you pivoted. The story doesn't make any sense, but you've done your best. If they did that with Chad Gable, it'd be like, this doesn't feel earned now. Mm. You had your moment to have Chad Gable in this match. You didn't take it. And that is the choice you've made. If you try and then change that after you've already made that choice, people aren't going to be like, well, now, yeah, okay, great, Chad's in the match, but not this way.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the way we wanted it. You know, like, it would feel very unnatural. Mm-hmm. And I think that would take away rather than giving. You know what I mean?
I do. I see what you're saying. It's so interesting, because how strongly you feel about Sami Zayn is how strongly I feel about Chad Gable.
Mm.
I was a massive Kurt Angle fan. Singlet coming down does something to me on a visceral level.
So good.
Like, it just turns, and then an ankle lock into a grapevine. And Chad Gable has everything that Kurt Angle had, but also has it in his own way. Like, he has his own sort of Chad Gable-ness to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you look over there, I'm panicking that the stream has gone down.
No, I'm just reading the chat. Don't
okay,
you
great,
worry.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's got his own quality. That's not, it's cheap to just be like, oh, he's a bit like Kurt Angle, because he's not. He's Chad Gable. He just harkens back to, much in the way that Kurt Angle harkens back to, like, the mat wrestlers of old, you know, kind of thing. And it is this evolution. I love a mat wrestling style, a technical wrestling brilliance, and Chad Gable has all of that and more. And I love him in this role, and specifically in the story he was having with Gunther. So I found out the winner of this match early, because of another piece of booking on this program that I thought was questionable. We shall get there.
We'll get there.
But it led me to do some Googling, and in the result of the Googling, I saw the winner of this match, and I was crushed. I was genuinely disappointed, because I was like, ah. And the reason being, and I said it last week on the show, when Chad Gable says it means more, narratively speaking, in the story that they have told me on WWE television, yeah, it does.
It does.
Sami Zayn's story is, I want to be on WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the way I can do that is by going for the Intercontinental title. This is my opportunity to get on the WrestleMania card.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, if you want to be on the WrestleMania card, get in the Battle Royal. I don't care. versus Chad Gable, who wants not only to beat win the Intercontinental title, who's never had a singles push. Mm-hmm. He wants to win the Intercontinental title off Gunther to make his child happy. Mm-hmm. That is a narrative that has been playing out on WWE television, right? So I felt like seeing the results cold, that's a shame. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the match. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I said to you while we were watching it was like, this is what we mean when we as wrestling fans get a bit like, we think that don't you know who's going to win anyway? Mm-hmm. Answer is right. So stupid. When people say that, oh, wrestling's fake, you already know who's going to win. Well, I don't. Generally speaking, I don't know who's going to win. I know who I want to win, and maybe I can read the story they're telling mm-hmm. me, and there's a certain inevitabilities of the way it's going to play out. But sometimes you genuinely don't know. In this instance, I did know, and I don't know how I would have responded to that sequence and that match if I didn't know.
Yeah.
But everything from Chad Gable, but in the past I would have seen it and gone like, oh no, well they've just thrown Chad Gable in the bin.
Right.
I think the way this story played out in the match was not that at all. So Ricochet got a big moment there for himself mm-hmm. right at the beginning. They really they decided, okay, what we're going to do in this gauntlet match is build Ricochet back up a bit, because mm-hmm. he's had a bit of a mare.
Stick him in the microwave, reheat him.
Yeah, just let him cook.
Yeah.
For a bit. I hate that phrase, but let him do his thing. And then when we get to the main event of the gauntlet, Chad Gable comes out and he's instantly like, get up, Sammy. Like, I'm what we've seen earlier in the match, they told a very clever story of Bronson Reed taking full advantage. They talked a lot about gauntlet strategy, mm-hmm. right? So you had Ricochet immediately going after Bronson Reed, not letting him get momentum, because that's the way that I, Ricochet, having wrestled mm-hmm. quite a while with JD McDonagh, I'm going to have my best opportunity to take out Bronson Reed. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Then you have Sammy just scraped by Bronson Reed, and Bronson Reed, the big heel, starts battering Sami Zayn, right? So we've already seen the nefarious way of behaving in a gauntlet mm-hmm. match.
Yeah.
And here comes Chad Gable, the honorable lad, mm-hmm. with all the intensity that he has been showing in those videos that he's made at home that have made it onto television. Mm-hmm. Right? We got the It Means More Chad Gable
it just means more
video package. That,
so
from
good.
What I understand was literally something he made at home and they put it on television. So we've got all of that. We've got the intensity. We've got him, you know, they didn't even do shush at the beginning of his music, which made it feel more legit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He comes to the ring. He's yelling at Sammy, get up, to the point where he helps Sammy to his feet because he wants to be on level pegging. He wants to win this, mm-hmm. and he knows he's got the advantage coming in last. He's not going to take the cheap route for it, though. He's going to wrestle him into submission quite literally because he locks in the ankle lock every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It is a back and forth wrestling match between, an incredibly fresh guy, but someone who has never been to the mountaintop versus Sami Zayn, who's been there 4 times already. Mm-hmm. So you even had it on commentary at one point. They're putting over the fact that Sami's won that belt 4 times. Chad Gable has never won a singles title ever in his career, not even NXT. They pointed out that Bronson Reed had won the NXT North American title, so even he's had a singles title. Mm-hmm. They mentioned JD McDonagh being a champion throughout Ireland. Mm-hmm. They made a point of saying all of these people have done it. And then Chad Gable gets there and they say he never has. So this was a match built around selling me the idea of Chad Gable, selling me that quite literally, yes, it does mean more. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, even in defeat, this is the end of the road. Chad Gable's never getting a push.
No.
I don't see it turning into a triple threat.
No, me neither.
And I personally still would have given it to Chad Gable. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if Chad Gable had then gone on to WrestleMania and lost to Gunther, where does Chad Gable go? Mm-hmm. Chad Gable still has somewhere to go from this.
Yes.
That's a key difference.
And I'd also say, I don't think Sammy's winning at WrestleMania.
I don't think Gunther's losing.
And to me, it's never been about Chad Gable going to WrestleMania. It's about Chad Gable beating Gunther. That can be at anywhere that isn't Mania.
Yeah.
You put Chad Gable versus Gunther in the main event of
Bash at Berlin.
Yeah. Backlash.
Gunther loses in his hometown.
That's where Gunther wins a world title.
You could do it Backlash France. You could do it in Toronto. Right, but you could do it on a rando episode of Raw.
I would, yes.
In his hometown.
You could, absolutely. Honestly, do it anywhere and the story still works. Mm. You have Sammy here. Gunther gets another Mania moment like he needs one. He can beat Sammy again. The Chad Gable story is still alive. It isn't dead. It's just another obstacle for him to overcome. And for me, having faced Gunther, lost, and then lost his opportunity to face Gunther again, to then get it, to then beat Gunther, is such a good story.
You know what film that happens in? Mm. The Boss Baby. Now, No, it's also interesting because people have talked about how Chad Gable was so like ice cold going into this, and like they were never going to heat him up in time for WrestleMania. It's taken 2 weeks, man.
It's taken two weeks,
and it's so hot.
Chad Gable has it.
He has it.
He does.
You know, and I think that this is the thing. We are going to get a banger of a match between Sami Zayn and Gunther.
Absolutely.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That is never in question. I think we are going to eat nicely.
Mm.
In the past, I would have catastrophized over this.
Mm.
And the way it was presented, the way it was put together, and the way that I believe Triple H books, especially this kind of person, this kind of title, I feel a lot more chill about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of it. It's like, we talk about this a lot. Not everyone can go to WrestleMania, right? I personally, I would have had Chad go to WrestleMania, and I would have had him win there. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been earned.
Yes.
After all, that would have been great. And it would have allowed Gunther a nice, healthy amount of time to go away and come back in time to get in the world title picture at Bash at Berlin. But I think many things. Oh, yeah, people got to go to WrestleMania. There was an opportunity here to tell a story about Sami Zayn not being in the main event 1 year and then not being on the card.
Mm.
There was an opportunity to do that, and they didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And I think
in previous years, that never would have been a story.
Mm-hmm.
That never would have been acknowledged. It would have just been a thing that happened that fans would have noticed, and then nothing would have come of it.
Yeah.
But in this current day and age, with Triple H's booking, I do believe that if Sami Zayn wasn't on the Mania card this year, they would have known that, noticed it, and made it something, made it a story.
Yeah, they've earned a lot of faith. And look, I'm not a blind fan of Triple H's booking. There are
Absolutely
elsewhere. We'll get there.
Yeah.
On this show, mm-hmm. where I'm like, what in the creative bollocks is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there are certain places where I think they've earned that level of patience from us.
Yes.
Where in the past, they never had.
Yes.
I'm thinking of Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of a Shelton Benjamin, even, to go down
sure.
to the mid-card,
yeah.
where potential's never fully realized.
Mm-hmm.
Here is an example of something where I'm like, you don't put that level of passion and shine onto your runner-up in a gauntlet
mm-hmm.
if you don't intend on going somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you aren't watching Untucked, you're only watching half the story. If you aren't watching the digital exclusives on WWE,
mm-hmm.
you're missing out, because there was a 5-minute interview between darling Kathy Kelly and Chad Gable, both of whom did an incredible job. Kathy
so
was really
good.
Selling it in a... It's very easy. There's a bland presenter interviewer style that WWE has. Makes it nice and easy. It's cookie cutter, whatever. Kathy was really giving it this kind of like very... It was very gentle. It was very quiet. It was
very
after the show.
Somber.
Very somber.
Yeah.
It really met the mood. And Chad was there in the same place with it. Five mm-hmm. minutes of him essentially just being like, yeah, I'm kind of at my lowest ebb ever.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting little piece of work. So the future's bright for Chad Gable, and mm-hmm. we're going to get a great match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I hope, fingers crossed, this is not the end. Because I know done this before with Sheamus, but I'm hoping that this isn't the end for Chad Gable.
But this is what's interesting, right? Because I was so in the camp of, yeah, I want to see Sheamus win
mm-hmm.
for ages and ages,
yeah.
ages and ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not that in a way,
right?
Because it was because the other thing with Sheamus is that he's never had that belt
yeah.
ever in his life.
Yeah.
Your screen doing something?
It's just...
Oh, it's a screensaver. I thought
you're
it was
fine.
Just going mental.
No,
the technology is scaring me today.
It's just...
That was so unprofessional of me. My apologies.
It's just my laptop. It's okay.
Yeah, like, I Sheamus never having held that belt. Sheamus and Gunther having two Match of the Year candidates in two consecutive years. That would have been an interesting story as well. Chad Gable has made it a personal thing with Gunther that actually doesn't necessarily need the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Sheamus' status is at the moment. I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know if he's gone. Either way, I think what it really speaks to is the fact that Gunther's reign has been generally so good that it means something for whoever wins.
Yes.
Right?
100%, yeah.
That belt means something for whoever's on it
next. It means so much.
Yeah.
And it is insane to think where it was when he won it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let us know what you guys think. Who should have won this match? How would you have booked this WrestleMania program for Gunther and the Intercontinental title? Let us know. We're sending in your thoughts to WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats. We'll read all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. But let's have a look at some of them now, which I will get shortly.
I'll read the first one.
Not filling for time in any way, shape, or form.
We have Gigi Banks. I can do this. It's okay. Gigi Baxter says, I was initially disappointed Sammy won as I feel it telegraphs a Gunther retention, but what if Sammy wins? Does Chad need to beat Gunther for the IC? Put the World Heavyweight title on Gunther at Berlin. You couldn't beat me for the Intercontinental, Chad. Do you have any interest in Gable as World Heavyweight Champion? I absolutely do, but not yet. There is, not that he's got infinite years in him, but Chad Gable is currently at a level. This was the other thing with Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
The Intercontinental title feels beneath him now. Not that the title itself is less than, because Gunther's done so much work, but it feels like Sami's won it 4 times. He was in the main event of WrestleMania last year. He wrestled for the world title at Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn, in my head, is now main event status,
mm-hmm.
or chomping at the bit or knocking on the door. He had that program with Drew. Mm-hmm. He's in a program. He could slot right into being Drew's first challenger if he wanted to be, if Drew wins the title at WrestleMania. Whereas Chad feels like in the right place to take the Intercontinental Championship and allow him to get to that next level of his mm-hmm. career. It's all titles are all about being used to bring a superstar to their next place,
yeah,
right?
It's the elevation of a character.
Yeah.
Or it could be used to further like the next chapter of a character
yeah.
or whatever, or an elevation of a star power or whatever. But yes, it should be utilized to do something.
I think it's not unreasonable to compare beating Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship to who ends the streak, honestly.
Yeah.
And did Brock Lesnar?
I don't think it's on the same level, but yes.
To compare
same
caliber.
Like,
you know, it's like,
yeah, same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Because it's ultimately about what does it do for the next person?
Yeah.
Right? Beating Gunther, what does it do for Sami Zayn to beat Gunther and then have an Intercontinental title run and then lose the Intercontinental title and then go into the World Heavyweight title picture? Mm-hmm. For me, put that belt on Chad Gable, mm-hmm. it allows Chad Gable to get to the next level, to get enough mm-hmm. EXP points to move up to Legendary, you know?
My thing is, yeah, I'd do that. Do Gable as World Heavyweight Champ. Because if that's your plan, you've got from now until August. Make Chad Gable a main event star.
Yeah, but
You have time.
But this is my thing. I think this is how you make him a main event star.
Interesting.
I think you give him a nice Intercontinental title reign. You give him a bunch of feuds. It allows us to see him as a single superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into the world title picture later. I also think there's a lack of a turnaround these days in mm-hmm. Stars at the top.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I'm so glad AEW exists, because it's mm-hmm. like, it's nice to have, I've like Edge finished his run.
Mm-hmm.
I could stay here.
Yeah.
I might not get a lot more out of it. I'll go over there and I'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Starks, for instance, mm-hmm. hasn't established a run in AEW, has had a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Maybe if his contract comes up and he goes over, or Cody is another mm-hmm. example, you know, hadn't been ready, gone over, has come back, is in that, you know, biggest star in the company position. I think it's good to have a little bit of variety.
Mm-hmm.
The reason NXT in its early days especially never felt stale is because you'd be the world champ and then you get called up and then it's time for a new world champ.
Yep.
So the days of two-time NXT champions were incredibly rare.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens has been on the main roster for 10 years now. Isn't that a weird thing to think about?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not exactly 10 years, but... I mean, Seth Rollins is about... Seth Rollins won the World Heavyweight Championship 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an example of the NXT call of the next generation, mm-hmm. whatever. Finn Balor, 8 years on the main roster mm-hmm. at this point. So, like... But they're still there, so the turnaround isn't as big.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and Austin were gone in 2003.
Yeah.
You know, like... And they were really trading the title back between them. Then you had Kurt Angle for a while and all that. I just think the turnover is a lot different this time around. So you don't want to have a main event scene that's too crowded. Otherwise, what does everyone else do?
That's why you need Chad Gable in there.
Right.
World Heavyweight Champ, Chad Gable. It's going to happen. It's going to be great.
Look, I mean, I'm a big fan.
I love it. I would love to see Chad in that position. I've been a big fan of Chad's for ages and been saying he needs more. Make him the guy. He could be the guy. He could be the next Cody. Make him the guy. He's cool.
I mean, that's a match I want to watch.
Oh, Cody Chad? Hell yeah. Love that man. Do you want me to read the next one?
I'll carry on. I don't mind.
Sure. Go for it.
Geek of Arabia says, Gauntlet match was great in general. While I don't hate Sammy winning, I wanted Chad to win much more. Love Sammy as much as anyone, but perennial underdog as a character he should have evolved past by now.
Disagree.
I think that's my point.
Oh, disagree.
Hello.
Sami Zayn is always an underdog and will be forever. That is what he is best at. He's great in every role that he's in. He's a great heel. He's great whatever. But Sami Zayn is the underdog forever and always.
For the World Heavyweight Championship. Intercontinental, he's done it 4 times, so he can't be an underdog.
But he's an underdog against Gunther.
Everyone's an underdog against Gunther.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Why this
That's
works.
Fair. That's fair. I see that.
Yeah.
Kay Turner, I'm happy for Sammy and it's going to be a banging match, but this just doesn't feel right. It's like I had my favorite meal out in front of me. They were showing it off, acting like they were going to give it to me and then replace it with something else.
Hmm.
Now, I mean, this is not a million miles away from where we were talking with Cody last year, right? Where, you know, this is not me defending the decision to not put the belt on Cody last year. But my God, I'm going to be watching the match with Roman with my balls in my throat. Like, I am going to be nervous that they don't do it right this year. Mm-hmm. And if there is an argument to be made that they have thus got my attention mm-hmm. enough. So what they've done is they've offered it to you and gone, do you want it? Oh, it's not going to happen for you right now. And look, that's what happens. Man United get to the FA Cup final. Or we could be the ones to stop our rivals winning the treble. We didn't. Like, mm-hmm. we lost it. Oh, bugs. And then they want to win the treble. It happens in sports. It happens. He's an Olympic athlete. All it takes is 3 seconds and you lose.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is the way it goes. So I'm not mad at them for that. As long as they do something with it afterwards.
Yes, exactly.
Cody Moody 5. Hey, boyos. I'm sorry, but I'm way more invested in Chad Gable than Sammy. The Rocky story they're trying to give him doesn't work for me. And that pre-match promo from Chad was excellent. Love all you do. R.I.P. Akira Toriyama. Greatest mangaka of all time. Brackets. Hell yeah. R.I.P. Toriyama Sensei. I think that might be from a mod.
That might have been the mod, but yes. Agreed.
But, yeah, I mean, this is interesting. So many people are not... This is the thing. It's not anti-Sammy in the same way that we were anti-Rock.
Exactly. It's pro-Chad. And it's very pro-Chad.
Yeah.
So that by comparison, Sammy is lower. But it's not like, oh, I hate Sammy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Ben Vlerick has a big old chat here. Thank you very much, Ben, who says, rare instance where I'm just excited regardless of what happens. Zayn versus Gunther, Gable versus Gunther, or triple threat. Zayn wins, Gable wins, or Gunther retains. It all sounds awesome. The Intercontinental title picture is just on fire. Can't wait for Mania. We've been burned by Roman's never-ending reign. However, I wouldn't get mad at Gunther retaining and going till SummerSlam or, hell, next Mania. He's been so damn great. All the bangers. Maybe it's not Zayn or Gable. Who knows? Could be Breaker or Ilya. I do think it's a triple threat. They should change it up from last Mania and make it an elimination. So you have to beat Gunther to become champ. Of course, you can book the winner to beat Gunther anyway, but I mean in kayfabe, you have to pin or submit him. It totally fits his character. The match is sacred and he doesn't do BS like cheating or getting lucky. If he loses the title, he loses it to a better competitor. So forcing them to have to beat him to win the title is the ultimate competitive challenge. There's a lot to get into there.
I like
gonna,
it all.
Yeah, I'm going to split it into two parts.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, the Roman comparison. Roman's never-ending reign, and Gunther's mm-hmm. obviously up to 641 days now,
yes.
It would be.
Yeah.
The reason it's not the same, or it feels different, is because we see Gunther defending it, and crucially, we see Gunther almost losing it.
Yes. Gunther defends it all the time and wins a lot clean. Like, Roman has a match style now. Mm. He very rarely defends the belt, and when he does, bloodline interference, Reigns retains, lol. That is the match structure now. Gunther just has great matches and murders people. And that's what Gunther does.
But more crucially, sometimes he does have to pull something else out of the bag. He has to try hard. With Chad Gable, he took him to the limit. With Jey Uso, he nearly lost it. And that's where I come into my second part, where it's like, you know, Gunther doesn't do things like cheating. He doesn't do cheating, but he'll take advantage.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
He took advantage of Jimmy's interference in that match with Jey, and it was incredibly effective.
Yeah.
I love the idea of this elimination thing. Ultimately, you have to beat Gunther.
I think so, yeah.
And Gunther... I mean, would Gunther just sit back and sort of let them go at it? Gunther be clever? Like,
I don't think so. Gunther would just murder him. Yeah. He'd get in and he'd be like, oh, you guys are fighting? Me too.
It's interesting.
I mean, and he'd kick him.
I would rather they stick with the singles at this point.
Same. And
then use Chad's story elsewhere. Like, keep it building. Because the thing is, he still hasn't lost to Gunther.
Exactly.
He still came dead close. I almost would have flipped Sammy and Chad around and have... That's a whole other conversation. C. Deaton says, really disappointed it wasn't Brock versus Gunther. I wanted that match so bad, but if it couldn't be Brock, it should have been Chad. He wanted it for his daughter. Sammy wanted it just to be at Mania.
That's fair. I mean, I think people's like motivations going into a match is very important, but I don't think this takes... Again, I don't think Chad's story is dead. This isn't about him and Mania. This is about him and Gunther, and that story still lives as long as Gunther's champion.
This is it. But it also, like, it doesn't even necessarily need to be champion. Like,
I suppose not.
Ultimately, it's about Gunther. That's why I'm talking about with Shane. We could have a situation where Sammy gets to go to WrestleMania, Sheamus gets to win the Intercontinental Championship, and Chad Gable gets one over on Gunther.
Everyone wins.
We can have all of those things. Yeah. I don't think we will, but speaking of Will Campbell. Hi, guys. As you both know, I have some thoughts about Gable. Ever since he started challenging for the IC belt, I've wanted him to win it. It's nice Sammy won, but I think it needed to be Chad here, given his history with Gunther and because his daughter cried. I don't know if you still have the picture. Luke did many times.
I doubt it.
Patrick Eddy says, I'm sorry, but no matter how many times I've seen Rocky, you can't convince me that Sammy using the Intercontinental title as a means to get on the card was a better choice than Gable's story. I love Sami Zayn, but he had his moment last year. People are talking about Gable's shoulders not being on the mat, but I honestly don't want to see a three-way. The gauntlet should be definitive. Besides, Sammy was talking about being world champion material since last November, so it feels like settling for less. Follow-up chat. I realize my previous chats might have come off a little whiny, so I just want to say that I'm okay with Gunther Zayn. I know the match is going to be good. I just don't think it's a better choice than Gunther Gable. Look, I don't think you sounded whiny at all. If anything, you've echoed everything that I feel. So I think, again, it's like, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to eat caviar. Like, that's how I feel talking about Sammy and Gunther. But
yeah.
Eduardo Luna says, boo, Ollie Davis. Blue Beetle was a good movie. And Chad Gable could be the second coming of Kurt Angle with the right booking.
It's true.
Fanta Consumer has been a member for 2 months in a row. Love Sammy, but this underdog thing feels forced compared to last year. He literally main evented Mania. It's inauthentic. We want Gable. Kiko Sonada says, with this year's game and WrestleMania centered around finishing stories, I feel Gable definitely should have won this and defeated Gunther. I still love Sammy and know the match will be good, but I can't help but be a little disappointed.
That's fair.
I mean, if you want to put a triple threat in, you could always keep Gunther strong by having him be... he's locked something into Sammy and that's allowed him a distraction enough that Gable can take advantage and he still looks strong in defeat. There's all these ways to do it, but that's me huffing the copium. Malton Dyster, hey guys, I'm so conflicted. I don't know what I would have preferred, Chad or Sammy, honestly. I think a triple threat would work in this scenario. It gets both on the show, and if any of the three win, it would all be good choices. Ajaz Hussein, hi Dan and Pete, hope you both well. I assume what happened is you were about to start and then you were getting cues. I, for one, am excited for Sammy versus Gunther at Mania. It's the Sammy underdog story. Funny how Chad is in the Sammy role for Mania 39.
Kinda. I'm into it.
Aaron Hanrahan has been a member for 29 months in a row. Goodness me. Perfect sync.
It was very good.
Great episode of Raw. I really wanted Chad to win, but I know how much it means to Sammy, so I'm happy. Cody keeps being the best. Love Monday Night War.
Thank you.
C. Deaton says, not saying Gunther Sammy won't probably steal the show, but I would have loved the feel-good story for Chad. Kuzu says, last night was going to be bittersweet regardless of who won. Happy for Sammy, but I was definitely pushing for Chad. Don't know what he does now. I don't think Sammy wins at Mania because he doesn't gain anything winning a title. He's won 3 times already.
I don't know if that's true. I think they haven't quite told the story because Sammy, like another chat pointed out, Sammy has been talking about, I'm world title material. I'm going to prove that I'm world title material. I can be world champion. Him winning the IC belt doesn't necessarily do anything. However, I don't think that someone who's already won the IC belt can't then win it again because it doesn't mean anything. Mm. If you just tell the story right, it can mean everything, you know? I need to win this again for whatever reason. Insert reason here, you know?
I mean, they've still got 3 weeks left.
Right.
Like, my thing was, okay, we've done the gauntlet now, and we've now got 3 weeks to make Gunther and Chad feel like the live or die match.
Yeah.
Same can be said of Sammy and Gunther. Yeah. Like, what do we do with these two?
Like, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think Sammy's ever challenged for a singles title at WrestleMania. So it can be like, look, last year's WrestleMania was fantastic.
He was in ladder matches, but yeah.
Yes, sure. But I think like in a singles match, right? Because like last year, you can be like, last year was fantastic. I got to main event WrestleMania with my best bud and we won the tag titles and that's great. But I want to prove that I am the singles guy and I need to do that by winning the Intercontinental Championship. Like, you could make it work.
Yeah.
Is it as compelling as Chad Gable? Maybe not. And some people might prefer Chad, but I don't think it's bad.
It's just interesting that we're talking about this in terms of like, Sammy's a world title contender. Mm-hmm. Gunther has elevated the IC title, but the IC title is beneath the World Heavyweight title. That's what it should be. It's one. It's an interesting dynamic to have
it's
all
so
of
interesting.
Things in one go.
Yeah.
Should we go to the main show and then we'll come back to these?
Well, we've got a couple more.
We have.
Real quick.
Morgan, just had a thought. Gunther beats Sammy at Mania, but loses the title to Chad on Raw after Mania. Jam that jam.
Totally possible.
Walker Sick, they be. The issue I have with the outcome is now that I want Sammy to lose. I don't see him winning. Does anything for the belt. I don't see how him winning does anything for the belt or for Gunther's push to the heavyweight title. I can see Chad's reign being the face version of Gunther, nothing but elevation. Mm-hmm. It is ultimately about what you do with the next person. Yes. I've always thought that all of this work that Gunther has done with the IC title could be for nothing if Chad Gable wins it and the next night loses it to War Truth. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Stephen Miller, I'm ready and willing and Gable to... What? Sorry, I messed his catchphrase. I'm ready, willing, and Gable to watch Chad win a singles title in the main roster in WWE. But I do like Sammy Gunther at Mania. Love all of you here at Wrestle Talk, even though I sit here and scream about Sat-E Day all the time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
And Jordan Cherry says, I love Sammy and Chad, but Chad has a lot more room to grow. If Sammy loses, like we assume, where does he go from here? As a Canadian going to Money in the Bank, I think Sammy winning the World Heavyweight title is the move and gives him the moment he should have got in Montreal.
Fair.
Can I usurp Luke's power and the power of that chair and ask for a poll from the Mod Mother? If you're listening, can we have a poll? Chad or Sammy?
Chad or Sammy?
After the gauntlet match. Chad, Sammy, triple threat. Three options.
Chad, Sammy, triple threat.
I think we did this last week, but I'd like to do it this week now that we know the answer.
Yeah. That's fun.
What do you reckon?
Yeah. Let us know. We'll get into the results of that poll and also all the rest of your old chats that you have sent in before we get off the show. But for now, let's talk about the rest of the show. Now that we've got a lot
to get into.
Now that we've gone for 40 minutes.
We haven't.
Yeah, we have.
Bloody hell.
Let's talk about the rest of the show, shall we? Quickfire! The show started with Drew McIntyre coming out to the ring, calling out Seth Rollins, basically saying, stop getting distracted by the bloodline. You're not part of that story. Stop trying to fill those boots. You're not part of this, mate. Focus on me. I'm your challenger. He also shut down the what chants, which were quite good.
There was they're chanting him. He says, say what if you're glad I got rid of CM Punk. They all chant what, which then makes them go, oh no. We didn't mean it. With CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Such great work.
Yeah, it is very, very good. Seth comes out and says he's waiting for Drew to claymore him again, but Drew turns Seth's advice back on him because Seth told Drew to stop getting distracted by the bloodline, focus on getting back to the world title when Drew's now. Now you stop getting distracted by the bloodline, focus on me. This is about the world title and me. And Seth calls him a hypocrite, saying that you say you don't want the bloodline here, but you've beat Cody Rhodes and you beat Jey Uso with help from the bloodline. So I think you actually do want the bloodline in our match and you will take advantage if they're there. And Drew, he said that I'm not paying that much attention to you, Drew, because on my list of threats right now with The Rock and my back and my knee, you're at the bottom of my list. And Drew gets very mad about it.
Yeah.
And then he stormed out and that was the segment.
For my feelings on Drew McIntyre, his current character, see every episode of the podcast back in October. I just think it's exceptional. I think he gets better every week. I think he mentioned at some point, he talked about Cody... promising The Rock something, and he promised The Rock a match and then took it back off
him. Took it back.
He tried to frame Cody as a heel, which is so clever.
Yeah, it's great.
I just think he's being exceptional in this, and I can't wait to see him win that belt.
Yep. I thought this was a very good segment. I thought both of them cut very good promos, but I don't think it made me more interested in their match yet.
No. I'm interested in their match, and it's 100% down to Drew McIntyre.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
But I think I was already at that level.
Yes,
this didn't elevate it any further, is what I'd say.
They've got a job on trying to convince me that Drew and Seth is as important as the tag match.
Right.
Whereas I feel like the Cody Roman one is at a par with the tag match. Mm-hmm. What makes Seth and Drew's match still feel that important?
Yes.
They've got
right.
a job on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chad Gable did his promo for the Gauntlet. Oh, it was so good. Then we had Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan had a match. Thought this was a bit of a corker. I thought both of them brought their A game here. They kept up a really fast pace through the whole thing. Liv had some great spots doing the springboard codebreaker. Sunset flip powerbomb onto the floor off the apron was really, really cool. Like, great spots all throughout. Liv hit the Oblivion, but Becky just rolled out the ring and she was like, no, like reaching that sort of spot. And then in a great mirror later, Becky hit the manhandle slam and then Liv rolled out and she's like, no, I can't win. Oh, it was like really good, like mirroring and back and forth and stuff like that. It was really, really good match. Submission trade-offs throughout it. But then Becky, in the end, just one clean. Manhandle slam, 1, 2, 3, Becky wins, which I think was the right decision.
Very much puts paid any idea that Liv is going to end up in that match with Rhea and what it did, which is the right choice. Like that shouldn't have been a triple threat match at any stage. What makes that super interesting to me, or what makes this whole thing really interesting to me, is this match went like 3 segments. It went on for a while.
It was a while.
It was competitive. It was a decisive victory, but Liv looked good. They both looked good. The repetition of the rolling out of the ring spot was a level of psychology and like, I'm up in my game. I'm learning from the best. Mm-hmm. You say you're the best. I'm going to learn your tricks kind of thing from Liv. I thought it was absolutely brilliant, a bit of work from both of them. And then Rhea's immediate appearance afterwards and the way all that went down plays into it.
Because I think as well, with commentary through this match, we're really trying to put over like, you know, Liv Morgan's on a revenge tour and, you know, Rhea Ripley's on her list. When she gets her opportunity at Rhea, she's going to get her chance later. Don't worry, guys. Liv and Rhea's going to happen after Mania. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. They were really kind of putting that over on commentary. So then later on, when Rhea Ripley came out, stared down Liv Morgan as she walked past her, I'm like, okay, this is going to happen later. But right now, we have Becky. Mm. It very much said to me, like, you'll get your chance. Wait.
What's interesting was that I was going down the line of Becky's going to win this and go on a run in the same way that she did with the NXT women's title.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favorite spots of 2023 was seeing Becky wrestle all of these women on TV, calling a moment to highlight the dire need for more women's wrestling on television kind of thing. I really enjoyed it. And actually, it's pushed me over into wanting a women's mid-card belt to give them more opportunities to be on television. I thought she'd do that with the World Heavyweight title. I now don't see her winning. And I think what they've done really well here is not only set up Rhea's next opponent, Liv Morgan. Well, let's say Liv Morgan beats Rhea at some point in the future and gets the title back. Becky's well within her eyes to say, well, I beat you clean in the middle of the ring. Mm-hmm. I'm in line for that at some point. There's a lot of stuff going on. And they've also set up, and they do it later on in the show, I won't jump the gun, but the length of this match and the intensity of this match set up a storyline for Becky and Rhea's match at WrestleMania.
Absolutely, yeah. And as mentioned before, Rhea Ripley came out straight after the match. They had a little promo segment in the ring after she stared down Liv Morgan, where Rhea Ripley is basically saying, like, you keep wrestling, and I don't know if you know this, but WrestleMania is not far away, and you keep doing these matches. You are going to leave yourself vulnerable when it comes to WrestleMania. You keep putting your body on the line. I'm fresh as a daisy. I'm great. And I'm going to kill you, basically. But Becky kept saying, like, yeah, go ahead. Like, doubt me. And I thought she had a really good line in this one where she said, when people believe in me, I'm good. But when people doubt me, I'm great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a really good line.
There's that bit of fire in her that has always been there where it's like, and she's always, I think it's easy to forget because she's the man and because she only got to the top of the card because she forged a connection with the fans that willed her to there.
Yeah.
Not in a million miles away from the Liv Morgan connection. It's just that Becky's came from this perennial underdog story that we all sort of bought into. So yeah, I loved this.
Yeah. We got an announcement that a 6-pack ladder match will be happening at WrestleMania.
All right.
a 12-man ladder match. Sign me up.
It was fascinating because like they get together and like, oh, and they're going to say something about the tag division. And I went, oh, they're going to split the belts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have Judgment Day wrestle twice. Yeah. We're going to get an awesome truth win and maybe a SmackDown title win. I'm sorry, 12-man ladder match? All right.
Yeah.
I guess.
Great. Do you think, now this was a thing that Tempest floated in the office, do you think they're going to do the thing where two separate teams pull the belts down and that's how they separate the belts?
Oh, piss off. that feels cheap. Maybe I'll feel differently in the moment, but no, I wouldn't like that.
No, that's
I'd
fair.
Rather have them. There's two Nights of Mania, defend them twice. But then again, you're looking at two cars that look exactly the same if you have people wrestling on both sides all the time.
That's so true, yeah. We then had Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae took on Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile. Now, this match was very short, about a minute or so. Somehow, Maxine Dupri got a hot tag in there. Don't know how that happened in a minute. But then, she comes in, she does a bit of offense, she goes to do the worm thing, and Candice LeRae just steps in and is just like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to do that? And she just verbally berates her. Maxine stops wrestling, goes off into the corner, and backs up very hurt. And Candice saying, you don't belong here. Why are you trying to do this? This isn't where you belong. This is why people boo you. No one likes you. And then she said, and I missed this when I first watched it. She said, it's nice that your dead brother isn't here to see what an embarrassment you are, because he's dead. Then Indy Hartwell hit her with a big boot and then they won. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm warmed up and ready to go. Right. There's a lot to unpack here. And I've seen some takes flying around. And this really pissed me off. And it really actually upset me. And it upset me for a number of reasons that aren't necessarily to do with this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to deal with two sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is to do with the narrative, and then one of them is to do with the content, right? Maybe I'm naive in this, but I'm hoping that Maxine gave her consent to the line.
You'd think so.
You would hope that in this new era of WWE, they're a little bit more cognizant of that stuff. So I'm assuming that she wouldn't have just gone into business for herself and done this. You know, it doesn't scream Candice LeRae to me, knowing what we know about Candice LeRae, who wears bluey-themed merch.
Yes.
She would just be so callous.
Yeah.
So I've seen people pull a little bit of a whataboutery as it pertains to, like, Christian doing the dead dad stuff in AEW. This is different. And the reason I think it's different is because this, narratively speaking, came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the naughty word, but it was a 0-60 Candice LeRae suddenly screaming in Maxine's face. And then it took it to, like, 120 with her saying this line about Maxine's brother. Now, the difference between, and I corroborated this with you guys upstairs because I wanted to see where the whataboutery was coming in. Christian, in the first time he used the sort of father thing, was in a program with Jack Perry where he had been playing a literal father figure with Jack Perry. It had been a long-term storyline where they'd been together and then there was a turn. And we also know, we collectively as a people involved in pop culture, and specifically wrestling fans, I suppose, know who Jack Perry's father is. We know Luke Perry. He is was a famous person and was a wrestling fan. So it's different. We don't know Maxine's family life. Obviously, she shared what happened to her brother and it was tragic. And so that is in the public domain, but it's not in the public domain on the same level. So it really felt like it came out of absolutely nowhere. Also, it's a shame your dead brother can't see whatever. It was bad writing. It was just bad writing. Narratively speaking, we're in week two of Candice LeRae being pissed off at Maxine Dupri. This was so soon for this level of viciousness. If they had worked this through, if Candice had been growing in this, if they'd been building this Maxine Candice thing for a while, and then Candice went that step over, it would have felt like a natural progression. It would have made us go, oh my god, you've taken heat and made it nuclear. Here it just was like tasteless. It was tasteless. I think in wrestling we've moved past the need for cheap heat like this, and I if you'll let me just very quickly, and I know we're already over time in so many different ways, but I feel like I let myself down the other day on the SmackDown podcast because Roman made a line at Seth about being a crossdresser. He just sort of threw crossdressing at him. And it hurt me. And then when the pod came about, I kind of brushed past it because I have been burned a little bit by calling out stuff like this in the past, or you're like your wife, you dress like your wife, all of this stuff. Like, people push back and they go like, well, this is just heels being heels. Heels should be allowed to say whatever they want. And so I would, the reason I'm drawing a parallel here is because I can imagine there are people saying, well, surely Candice LeRae as a heel can say kind of whatever she wants is fair game. She's just being a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You, with all the respect in the world, you're allowed to say that with the cross-dressing line if you are a straight person for whom it doesn't affect, right? I'm not. I have grown up my whole life not being considered manly enough, not being considered good enough. Like, I'm a target of physical assault as well as verbal and mental assault, bullying, harassment, all the rest of it, because of stuff like this that perpetuates it, right? So when he said you're a cross-dresser, it allows for people to pretend that, oh, it's fine because it's just heel. There are then those people who are like, you guys wouldn't survive in the Attitude Era. I'm not even being as verbose about this as I'd like to be, because it's something that genuinely upsets me. But I hope you kind of understand what I'm saying. Like, you're not allowed to tell me that that is something that I should be just okay with seeing, because there are layers to what is and isn't acceptable. In the Attitude Era, I watched the build to WrestleMania 17 recently, and I watched Vince McMahon make Trish Stratus go around the ring and bark like a dog. And cover her in slop, right? Knowing what we know now about Vince McMahon and what we kind of knew then about Vince McMahon, it is, you could very easily get away with saying like, oh, that's just a heel being a heel, and we're supposed to hate him for doing this to a woman, except he's doing these things publicly and an arena full of people are cheering him. The way that we tell stories and the way that we use language and the way that we frame our characters has a direct impact on the wider society in the way that we approach other people. Roman flippantly calling Seth a crossdresser allows for people to feel like it's okay for them to belittle someone like me because I wear nail varnish. And I get this every time in the comments. Oh, your chest is out. Oh, you wear nail varnish. Oh, your voice is too high. Oh, you make too many Drag Race references. Roman saying stuff like this perpetuates that kind of comment in the... I'm not going nowhere near these comments, by the way, in today's episode, and probably never again. But like... We need to move past this cheap heat. We need to be thoughtful in the way that we write. We need to be thoughtful in the way that our characters get heat. There is a way to be a heel. There is a way to bring it back to Candice LeRae, and I'm sorry that I've gone on a bit of a rant, but there is a way for Candice LeRae to say this line in a way that feels natural, organic, and impactful in the correct way, and this was not that. And it's got nothing to do with gender, and it's got nothing to do with heels being heels, and it has everything to do with smart, thoughtful storytelling. Same goes for Roman Reigns. Smart, thoughtful storytelling in the year of our Lord 2024 is way past overdue. That's how I feel.
There you go. Well,
have some chill, practice empathy, and get a bit of perspective. That's my one thing for the wrestling audience. Like, just, that's it. That's it.
Well done, Dan.
Sorry.
Well said.
Sorry.
For what it's worth, I agree. That was a weird segment. Oh, and hey, we spoke about it for longer than the actual segment
was. But the thing is, I really liked this as well. I leant forward. I was like, I want this from Candice. I've enjoyed the digital exclusives. I enjoyed Candice with a bit of bite last week. I enjoy them turning this Maxine thing into a story. I like every single part of this. Maybe I should have led with that at the beginning of my rant, but that's why it felt like it let me down. Because I'm like, yeah, this is good. Do this. Just don't do that. Yeah. Or do that better.
Yes.
I hope that makes sense.
I think do that better is the sum total here, because it's not that it was inherently wrong, it was done poorly.
Yeah.
It's just a case of bad booking.
Yeah.
And it's frustration.
Cheap heat is lazy, and yes. I think you're better than it. I hope that's okay.
Yes, I agree. Well done, Dan. We had a backstage segment with the general managers, and Judgment Day came in. They were very upset about this ladder match. Finn Balor had a great line that just said, "Everyone knows I don't like ladders." And then we set up Damian Priest versus R-Truth later on in the show.
I really liked Finn's whole "I don't like ladders" line. It really tickled me.
It was very funny. We then had Michael Cole in the ring, who did a recap of SmackDown, and brought out Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes came out, and Michael Cole, I thought, cut a very compelling argument as to how can you trust Seth after everything that you guys have been through specifically, and everything that Seth has said about wanting to be the number one guy. How can you trust him? You're in competition to be the number one guy. Don't you think that Seth is actually just trying to play you with this whole thing? Like, what's going on? And Cody's like, look, people can change. I've tagged with Jey Uso. You used to be sitting in a coal mine. You know? People can change. It is what it is. And then he goes on to say, like, it's not, the story isn't just about Reigns and the title anymore. It's about all the fans that come to see me. And he lists some examples of fans. And he says, so it's about my sister who's there, the sibling that The Rock didn't talk about. And in classic Cody style, he starts breaking, starts crying. It's wonderful. And he says, at WrestleMania 40, Michael Cole will be able to say for the first time ever, Cody finished the story. And I don't understand how Cody can be this corny and this cheesy and this perfect. Yeah. I don't understand how he gets away with it. Why don't I dislike him? Mm. He's so good at what he does that I cannot help but enjoy the content that he makes. And I don't understand why I don't hate him.
I mean, it's sort of interesting because I suppose in a weird roundabout way, it ties into what I was just speaking about, because when he starts crying and starts, his voice starts wobbling.
Yeah.
I kind of got a bit nervous as a Cody crybaby.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, uh-oh, the people who want their men to be men are going to hate you. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have a meme on the three count and the various shows, people being like, you know, Cody cries in promos or whatever. And I know that was a big part of the Codyverse and stuff like that. A lot of people rejected all of that. And yet, he carries it off with such aplomb, and knowing that you really still enjoyed all of this,
yeah.
And knowing the other colleagues we have across the wrestling commentariat spectrum, who I think may have been very anti this, were still being like, he is unique in being able to pull this off. It's so interesting. I think, honestly, it's got everything to do with the fact that he represents a lot of us, like in the same way that Austin in the 90s represented us pushing back against the man and the boss and, you know, anti-hero and saying no to authority and all that stuff. Cody represents this kind of like self-made man thing. And yeah, there's a Nepo baby thing here.
But
the famous story is that Paul Heyman gave Dusty Rhodes a break and that allowed them to have Electric and all that stuff. Like, so yes, he had the Rhodes name, but he had to work his ass off to get there. Mm-hmm. And even when he did get there, he was Stardust. So then he went away. He did everything. He did the whole the Cody Punk promo is still one of the best things I've ever seen. I'm more CM Punk than you. Mm-hmm. I went and did the thing. I built an entire separate company that is the biggest rival that's forced this company to be the best it can be. Like, I think we love him for that. Mm-hmm. He changed this industry.
Yeah.
Not single-handedly, but he certainly changed the industry.
Yeah.
And he is so deserving of this spot. And I think that's why... Also, I'm sorry. Who doesn't want to give their mum, make their parents proud?
You know?
Who doesn't want their partner to have the world?
Mm-hmm.
And we know Brandy. So like and we've seen Michelle in the front row. Like we there's something about the reality of it. There was a Brandy Rhodes tweet afterwards where she said, like, our bloodline might not be as big as yours, but we'll fight for each other. Mm-hmm. And even that made me go, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, what he did for little Brody? Mm-hmm. You know, what Amanda Huber talks about.
Yeah.
Jeepers. I mean, I think it's genuinely because in a time where people are horrible to each other, the reasons I won't look at the comment section of this video, here's an earnest guy looking to try and do right by other people.
Yeah.
And it makes my heart sore.
I think that's the main thing, is it still comes off as earnest.
It's
somehow.
It's real.
I don't know how, but he does it.
Yeah.
And it makes him feel earnest. Even though he does the crying promo all the time, it's still somehow earnest. Mm. I don't know how he does it. It's magic.
He's magic.
And he's great. Ricochet and JD McDonagh got promos for the Gauntlet later. Backstage, Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch shake each other's hand as a mark of respect, but then Nia Jax comes in and attacks them both, puts Becky Lynch to the table. They should do that, yeah.
She came out of nowhere.
It was quite amusing. Put Becky Lynch through a table with a manhandle slam. We then had the Kabuki Warriors defending their belts against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. This is the third women's match on this show, just as a fun note. There were no men so far on the show, just three women's matches.
There you go.
Nice.
It was good.
This was a solid match. Had some fun spots. I really enjoyed it. Dakota Kai gave the assist at the end. Shayna had the Kirifuda in. Looked like she might actually get the win. But Dakota Kai got the assist and they managed to come back and hit the insane elbow for the win. I really enjoyed... Now look, side tangent. We're so over time. Side tangent. I really enjoy that commentary are bringing up NXT these days.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that they bring up NXT. And in the Gauntlet match later, they're talking about Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura take over Dallas. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what we should do. And bringing more history of wrestlers together. This is great. But some of it you don't have to mention. You don't have to mention Zoe Stark and Io Sky as a tag team. We don't need to be reminded of the racist promos. We don't need those. Mm. We can let them go.
Mm.
We don't need that one. Just say they have history. That's fine. You don't need any more than that.
Because then you're encouraging people to go off and search.
Yeah, right? We don't want to see that.
Yeah.
That's bad. Leave that in the past. Anyway, it was a fine match. The champs retained. There you go.
Yeah. I liked the match. I thought it was good. What was interesting, it's heels versus heels. Triple H should listen to his own My GM emails.
Are you saying Shayna and Zoe aren't faces?
No, they aren't.
Aren't they?
No.
I don't know about that.
They're more sort of, apologies to Michael Oki, but they're more tweeners than anything else.
Tweenerish, you know?
They're arrogant and cocky, but they've been heels for most of the... Well, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Either way...
It's a grey area.
Yeah.
There are no faces and heels anymore.
Either way, this is a very competitive match and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The only issues were Kabuki Warriors were never going to lose because they're sort of an integral... What would it do for the Bayley EO story?
Yeah.
Not going to lose. We sort of knew that. Same thing with Roadblock last week. But also, Shayna Baszler... We said this last week. Shayna Baszler, Indy and Candice and Natalya and Tegan... And even Chelsea and Piper and the Party Girls, they all just sort of do this.
Mm-hmm.
They all just cycle each other. It's like, whose turn is it this week? Oh, yep. It's our turn. And next week we'll lose and lose and lose. And then we win. And then it's this constant... So it's hard to really buy into any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem with the division.
Which is why I would prefer a mid-card title over the women's tag belts, personally.
I agree, actually. Yeah. I think because also it would allow for more challenges and more competition than a tag division.
100%. Because then you can do crazy multi-woman matches and you get a lot more variety than you can because you only have like a handful of women's tag teams.
Yeah.
And like you said, they have to just kind of cycle to keep things interesting.
I mean, we know, this is so stupid to compare this, but we know when we're booking My GM,
mm-hmm.
tag matches just suck up a lot of people's time.
Right? Yeah.
You know.
It's crazy. Curious segment next where Andrade went backstage to visit Judgment Day. And Rhea said, look, Dom can't make it this week, but he speaks really highly of you, and, you know, maybe we could talk business at some point. And Andrade said, yeah, sure, we could talk business. No worries.
If you will, the Judgment Andrade.
Eh?
You don't have to, but you could.
You could. And after he leaves, Finn agreed with him, being like, look, I've known this guy a long time. I think he could bring a lot. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Curious. See where that goes later. Shinsuke Nakamura had a promo for the Gauntlet. Bronson Reed also got a promo for the Gauntlet match. I love Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I love him. Then we had Damian Priest versus R-Truth. I said that Priest should murderize R-Truth, but it was a very good match regardless.
Mm. Yeah, it was.
Very back and forth. DIY came out to assist R-Truth. Truth did the five moves of Doom. John Cena's moves. Priest kicks out. He did the STF. The rest of Judgment Day came out and attacked DIY on the outside. A lot of distractions. Truth went to go help those guys, came back in and got hit with the South of Heaven, and Damian Priest won. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was a fine match.
I don't have anything on it.
It was a fine match. Yeah. Becky Lynch backstage challenged Nia to a last woman standing match next week, which I really enjoyed. Not necessarily because I think the match is going to be amazing, although their last match was very, very good. It's because of Rhea's promo earlier, where she was like, you keep putting your body on the line, you're going to leave yourself vulnerable at Mania. And Becky's like, yeah, I know, but also last woman standing match.
She can't get out of her own way. She's almost taken that idea of stop doubting me and run it too far.
Exactly.
I really like it.
Yeah. I like that Becky is constantly hurting herself and hurting her chances at the title. It makes it even more of an underdog going into WrestleMania, which is what she should be against Rhea. Very, very good. Jey Uso came out, and I wrote, his entrance is pretty good, isn't it?
Oh my god, I can't wait to see it.
It's,
on the main yet.
It's pretty good.
60,000 people doing
that. Oh, it'll be fun. And he lays out the challenge of Jey versus Jimmy for WrestleMania.
Yep, there we go.
That was the whole segment. I'm not exaggerating.
Yep, I have nothing to say.
Yep. Gunther got a video package, which was really, really good.
God, it was so good, wasn't
really,
it?
Really, really good. I love it so much. Just highlighting 640 days. And then he got a backstage promo to hype the Gauntlet match as well. And he said, whoever wins, good luck. And we got the announcement of the qualifying matches for the tag team ladder match next week, which is New Day versus Otis and Tozawa, Truth and Miz versus Indu Share, and DIY versus the Creed Brothers.
Crushing. Because I want to see Julius Creed in a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the British Bull off the top of the ladder.
It might happen.
It might happen, but then DIY aren't in it.
Yeah,
this feels like a missed opportunity to have all the people who don't need to be in it at the New Day. So, like, for me, like, you know, they're just sort of... They had a chance relatively recently, though. Did they not? Am I making it up? I think I'm making it up.
Know.
Oh, no, they've been mainly with Imperium.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I wanted both DIY and the Creed Brothers.
Yeah. But They might do a thing where they have a bunch of teams qualify and then they do
last chance
and they have all the losers go in and then Creeper will still get in anyway. I don't know. We also got told that CM Punk is going to be on Raw in 2 weeks' time.
Tee-hee.
In Chicago. Good stuff. There was no promo for Sami Zayn for the Gauntlet, of all people.
Huh. Maybe didn't need one.
Interesting. And then we had the main event that we've already spoken about of the Gauntlet match, which, again, Sami Zayn won. Now, before we get into the rest of the Ultra Chats here, first off, I'm going to end this poll already ended, I think. Can I see
polls? They usually end the polls and then they do it in the chat.
Well, I need to see the results of this poll to see what people wanted from the thing. Here we go. Okay. 49% Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
25% Triple Threat. 24% Sami Zayn.
Interesting. So that is an overwhelming victory for... In the court of public opinion for Sami Zayn.
For Chad Gable.
That one. Yep. Sami Zayn's friend Chad Gable.
Sami Zayn's... Friend.
That's what I said.
Yeah, definitely. So that is a majority for sure that won Chad Gable, but it's not like 80% one way. Mm. You know, it's not like Chad Gable or nothing. There's still a little bit of leeway for the others.
But yeah.
I'm curious to see how that plays out over the coming weeks. But before we get into the Ultra Chats, we have to say thank you to some very special people. Those are our $25 and above Patreon backers over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. If you've not been to our Patreon page yet, you really should. So much stuff over there. So much exclusive content. And I don't know if you guys know this, but hey, we're back for Monday Night War over on Parts of Unknown. We've got episode 1 is over on YouTube right now. But on Patreon, you get 1 week's early access every single week, which means you can go watch episode 2 right now over on the Patreon page. It's a good one. Promise. A lot of things happen. It's real interesting.
It gets a bit chaotic, doesn't it?
It sure does. Loads of exclusive content, loads of fun stuff on the Patreon page. Go and check it out. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to the Eco Warrior, Brian.
Always leave the crowd wanting Brian Moore.
Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Chris, the Cypriot Sensation Petru.
All-Star Chuck Turner.
Daniel's Sweet Mexican Chocolate Ibarra.
On top of the world, on the top rope, David Sanson.
A tall, handsome guy who has goals in life, Delonta Blaine.
Dr. Hook, Nolan Evans.
Nolan Biscuits here, Fred Wurst.
Always shining, Garrett Albright.
And the Hurricane, Gregory Helm.
Thank you so much, all of our Patreon backers. Go check out patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Now, let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. I'm assuming there's quite a lot.
Yes, there are indeed. Let's get into them. Luke Owen, who doesn't know how to take a day off, donated sickness and time and says, watching from bed, are we sure that Sammy is losing? He literally told us a few weeks back that this is Rocky. If Montreal is Rocky 1, then Mania in Philadelphia is Rocky 2. I haven't seen them, Luke.
Yep.
Which means Sammy is winning. And while I love Sammy, I don't think he's the guy to dethrone Gunther. And as I'd rather he be the first challenger to Drew after he wins the World Heavyweight Championship.
I agree.
I completely agree with that.
I agree. I think now the worst thing they can do is have Sammy win. Because I think it would take the legs out from the story.
I also think Gunther putting on his best Austrian accent to be like, life is not like into movies. The Oscars was last month. Bash. Slam. 1, 2, 3. That's my Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Your Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
Okay.
We had our poll results a second ago. And then we got Jared Hazelwood here who says, I saw online people claiming that because Triple H wasn't one of the four corporate offices, he must not have known what was going on. Even if that is somehow true, do you think he will see any ramifications from Steph being one of the four corporate offices?
I would rather not speculate on this show.
Yeah, that is
regardless.
We need to be very sensitive with that kind of thing. But yes, I agree with you completely there, Pete. Tyrone says, not sure if I'm as hyped for Mania anymore. Strange decisions and pivots and injuries and lawsuits have hamstrung the build to 40, still keen for it, but not sure if it will reach the same heights of 39. Example, nothing as big as the Sammy Bloodline saga last year.
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. I'm so high on this Roman Rock Cody business. I love it. So maybe.
Maybe.
But I mean, on the night, we'll all have fun, won't we? Ten Russ has been a member for 30 months in a row. Goodness gracious. Dan saying that 28-minute line to Kate from Fightful would be fun. I'm buzzing for big business. Can't wait for Dynasty. And, oh, Mania is there as well. I wasn't specifically calling anyone out by throwing out the 28 minutes of wrestling line. Certainly not Kate. But, you know, wrestling, different types of wrestling for different types of people. I think that's perfectly valid. Sheldon Jackson says, just think about this. Jay would have been a triple crown champion by now if not for Jimmy screwing him over 3 times in 8 months. SummerSlam, Universal title, Raw tag titles, and Raw Intercontinental Championship. They have to bring this up in the build to Mania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, Jimmy's been screwing Jay left, right, and center. Yeah. That's the whole thing. So, yeah, they should be bringing that up. Absolutely.
He's trying to make his own way, and he's always going to be pulled back into it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Bored Goose. Did you all know that the Jam That Jam belt was featured prominently on the How It's Made segment on Wrestling Belts? Also, if Cody loses, I'll not impotently at home.
I'll riot impotently?
I'll riot impotently at home.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Also, no, I did not know that. I should look that up.
You absolutely should look that up.
Interesting.
It's a beautiful belt, and it's going nowhere. Mm. Stone Car Window says, Seth gets squashed by Drew night one before the tag. 2-1 tag match because Seth is too injured, or leaves before it begins after losing the title because he blames Cody or something. Rock and Roman win, and then Cody wins night two.
I think it was confirmed that Seth and Drew is night two.
Night two. But if they were going to do it night one and then Seth is taken out, I don't know.
Cool.
Maybe... The Rock and Roman's dreams could be shattered.
Ooh, spicy. I don't think so, though.
I don't mean either, but I would love to see it. You know, my reaction would be quite hot.
Quite cool.
John Coffey, what do you all think about Travis Scott at Raw? If WWE is smart, they'll throw a lot of money at him or Lil Uzi Vert to perform a song at Mania for the non-rap fans in the audience. Lil Uzi Vert remixed Nakamura's theme to make an amazing song for his album. He absolutely did.
He sure did. I don't really have many thoughts, unfortunately.
You're not a rap boy.
I'm not a rap boy.
Well, no. I mean, look, it might be fun.
Yeah.
Dante Kedney said, I didn't care for the Maxi and Angle. It was uncalled for, scripted or not. Left a very poor taste in my mouth and soured the rest of the show for me. I don't want to do this. This is not okay from Maxine off mic. Again, it's all part of the story. And I really have to believe that she was clued in. You know, it just doesn't, again, it doesn't make sense for Candice LeRae as a human being, not even Candice LeRae the character, to just kind of go into business for herself like that. Kian Nolan has been a member for 30 months in a row. Bang. I'll be very interested to see if Finn and JD are brought up in the Rhea versus Becky build. A lot of mileage to be gotten. The build will be fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the Irish connection, them growing up together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Alroy says, a little side note, but Liv versus Rhea is honestly more interesting. No doubt Becky versus Rhea will be good, but Liv versus Rhea feels like a blood feud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is an interesting thing because, like, it does. Yeah. And yet Becky is... absolutely one.
I think for me, though, I'm more interested in seeing Becky, not because I don't want to see Liv, but just because the idea, the hype of Becky and Rhea, for me, feels more compelling.
But it's two of your top stars at WrestleMania. And like, that's not to say that Liv can't get there at some point.
Absolutely,
but
yes.
It's not right now.
It's not right now.
Also, compelling stories for every pay-per-view, please.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to all be a WrestleMania.
Yeah. This next one from Kevin.
Yes.
I would say we should paraphrase.
Okay.
There's potentially some triggering stuff in the chat, and I appreciate you sending your thoughts in, Kevin, for this. But essentially, they're saying they agree with you in that it felt very tasteless, left them with a sour taste in their mouth with the Maxine angle, etc. But yeah, they did not enjoy this segment at all, and it was triggering to them.
That's the thing. I think, again... Content warning exists, generally speaking, for people who have who are affected by those warnings to be able to engage with their show in a way that they're prepared for, right? Dropping something like this out of nowhere felt so unnecessary and damaging, and that's the thoughtfulness of it. Like, if you build to the point where they're going to drop something, maybe, because also, like, I didn't know. I had to Google that Maxine had a brother. I thought maybe it was completely made up, or maybe it was going to be part of a storyline.
Yeah.
So, you know, it came out of absolutely nowhere, and I think that's the part where they need to be a lot smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin does follow up with a second half of his chat to sort of say, my pitch is that Sami will lose at Mania so he can rematch Gunther at next year's WrestleMania after he wins the Rumble. Yes, the Sami Zayn hype train is still alive. Seriously, you may see this a lot, but thanks for the cool content you guys put out. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
I have Sami Zayn challenging Cody Rhodes for the world title first, because last year at Elimination Chamber?
Sure do.
He said, you said I could do it, and I want to know that you actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that thread to be pulled out again.
Yeah,
I've always remembered that, and I want them to
really
do
really cool
that.
Yeah,
Roach Senpai said about the Maxine situation, it felt tasteless, just like the one Paige did with Charlotte. Mentioning family members who are deceased, even if they are signed off, feels so wrong and must be avoided at all costs, especially when heard by those who recently lost family members. Yeah, mm-hmm. Echoing that. Watcher said, so 2 weeks ago, Seth talked about how the Bloodline wants his title, even though Roman called it a loser's belt. Now he's literally burying his own title match when saying Drew is at the bottom on his list of threats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always feel like you want to boost up your opponent before taking them out.
Yeah.
To make it an achievement.
Yeah. I did feel weird because it kind of just felt like Drew was then right. If Seth's like, oh yeah, you're low on my bottom, on my list of threats. It's like, yeah, that's the point. Mm. Pay attention to me, you idiot. That's what I'm saying.
Watcher finishes by saying, please drop the title to Drew at WrestleMania.
Yes.
I really do feel like
please.
Taking it to someone like that. And there's so many people to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of Drew dropping it to Sammy, Sammy dropping it to Gunther. Mm, like,
that'd be cool.
There's so many different levels to play with.
Absolutely.
Where am I now? Brandon Kwame says, talk your talk, Dan. I'm a man of the bi-curious flavor myself, so I 100% understand where you're coming from. Take all the time you need to go off. Peace and love. Appreciate you very much for that. Flavors to play with. Mm-hmm. Misha Summer says, re Roman's barb to Seth, Vince being abusive, etc. When people say X was acceptable back then of the Attitude Era, my response is, was it really? Or was it just the people on the sharp end didn't have the power to challenge it? Hashtag support each other. I think that's very accurate, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it's always punch up. It's always punch up.
Always.
Brett J. Rasmussen says, I also want to say that I do wish Chad won, but we still got a story there for Chad versus Gunther. And I loved the Cody promo, and that promo made me tear up just as much as Cody did in his promo. It really did hit me in the feels very hard.
Nice indeed. Do you want me to take over for these next ones?
Crack on.
Absolutely. Yeah, Official TKO2 has become a member who said, oh, and Reggie Marshall has also gifted a membership as well. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Blake Whitehouse said, idea for your Monday Night War. Instead of the 1 minute power card penalty that a random person would get, what if whoever goes over time has to do the next 3 commissioner goals in a row, no matter what they are? I think it'll be a fun little wrinkle.
That's too OP, because then they get 3 power cards. I say they're not allowed to do their 3 commissioner
goals.
That's
much better.
Yeah.
Not allowed regardless of what it says. That's much better. Yes, I agree with that one. The great Anton said, we need to see Pete reacting to his reaction to Cody's story. He was even on the live Raw stream when Cody left AEW and joked about him beating Roman. This is so true. There was a clip that someone sent me on Twitter where me and Luke were joking about it. Be like, I mean, I don't think Cody's the guy to like come in and be the top guy or anything.
Yeah,
like,
there is.
It's like Cody, like Intercontinental Champion, like
a few months later.
And then we were literally just like, I mean, he's not gonna dethrone Roman.
Yeah,
like we literally made a joke about it. So that'd be very funny to watch back. Aiden said, just wanted to point out, Pete, starting off my GMO with the perfect song choice. Don't know how you can top sales theme. Also, if Rhea dresses as Vegeta again, she's instantly losing to Becky, R.I.P. Toriyama. I agree wholeheartedly. Reggie Marshall's been a member for 14 months in a row, who said, cello, Pete and Dan. Love you guys. Been watching WrestleTalk since 2016, I believe. Drew was getting on my nerves. Interesting.
Mm.
Huh.
That's the first time I've heard that from anyone.
Is it because he's right all the time?
That's why I get on people's nerves, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. Dark73 said, hey lads, found out my fiance's visa to move to the States just got approved.
Hey.
Gonna marry the woman of my dreams and can't wait to finally start the next part of my life. Love to you both and be as awesome as you always are. Thank you so
congratulations.
Much and congratulations. Brett J. Rasmussen said, I just want to say, Dan, that you are just the best and I'm so happy to watch you, Luke, Ollie, Pete, Tempest, Sully, Laurie and others here on YouTube. You keep being you and wear those low-cut V-shirts and paint nails and keep being you. Love you guys so much.
It's chilly outside today.
Yeah, thank you. The Buster Groove said, after what I just heard, just want to say, Dan, your style and persona are absolutely epic and I'm incredibly happy to be able to listen to your content weekly. Pete, don't worry, you're a sexy hunk as well.
I mean, we'd all say it.
Yeah, love you guys, stay groovy. P.S. Sammy, yeah. Is that everything? No. Maybe.
There's two more. Is Biz N. Charles says, howdy from Texas. Last night's Raw was the first in-person Raw I've seen since Dean Ambrose's gas mask segment, and this Raw was way better. It's a low bar. And while I can say the Rumble 2020 was obviously better than this Raw was very great. Have an amazing day. Love you all. And Geek of Arabia says, so I don't really feel much for Becky Lynch at the moment. I hadn't been watching wrestling when she made it big. I got back in during the Trish feud, so I don't really feel much. But hear me out. Heel turn Becky. Becky can do anything.
It's true.
Anything. So if it makes sense for the character and it's going to heat the thing up, yes, that one.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. There's also another one here from Reggie Marshall 7739 who said, not sure if my other messages went through, would like to support my brother's GoFundMe. We're trying to get our first comic issue done.
Oh, cool.
We can't really have the link, but
reading out a link doesn't work.
It doesn't really work to read out the link, but
if you're in the chat, I guess post it. Are you allowed
sure?
to do that? I don't know.
I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
But good luck, Reggie Marshall.
Good luck with
7739.
That. Yeah.
I assume maybe that's got something to do with it as well.
Yeah, who knows? But yes, I think that's everything for the Ultra Chats. Crikey Moses.
Sorry we went so long.
People had a lot to do. I'm going to end the poll right now.
Oh, yeah.
I remembered.
Yeah.
Look at me go. That's I'm like Luke, but better.
This is the smallest it's been for a while.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. For Raw this week, 1% thumbs down, 28% mid, and 70% thumbs up.
I would say that's absolutely fair. I overall enjoyed the show. I think the quality of the wrestling on it was for WWE standards, quite high.
Yeah.
And one thing really marred some of it, but there was so much else to go on. Building up to Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm really excited for WrestleMania. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. Sorry for that controversial hot take.
Yeah, that is pretty hot take. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was a really good show. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought that Gauntlet match was phenomenal.
Oh my God, yeah, it was great.
Those last two were so good.
Yeah.
They make magic. Have them do a rematch at some point. Wrestle more. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to me for filling in.
yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You did a great so and welcome. For dealing with the crisis.
And also all of the technical issues. Get well soon, Luke. We'll see you soon, bud. Send your well wishes to Luke on Twitter at This Is Luke Owen.
If you could do that now, because we've got a shoot tomorrow, so we need him to feel as well as possible.
Yeah, we're shooting more Monday Night War tomorrow, so we need him to get better.
Send as many well wishes as you can.
So many well wishes that he cannot help but get better. That's what we need. Thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel, like the video. Why not? We're going to be back on Thursday with the AEW Dynamite review, which is going to be Ollie and Luke. Presumably, if Luke is back. But we'll figure that one out later.
Big business.
Big business.
It's big business.
It's big
week.
Business.
So is it going to be a big Dynamite review?
It's going to be a big review. And we'll also be back on Saturday for the SmackDown podcast. Mm-hmm. Not you this time.
No, not me.
But it will be Luke, as long as he's well enough. We'll get
well,
there.
Well, he could do that one from bed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he'll have it with no camera.
So the Rock said.
Yeah, it will be disgusting. I love it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you soon. Take care of yourselves and jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.